I think we're ready to start. So good morning, everyone, and welcome to our first at-home retreat. I hope you've had a wonderful morning so far. And just to give you some instructions on how you can ask Sherry any questions on this call is to press star 6, and then you will be put in the queue for the Q&A. And then I will unmute you, and you and Sherry can look at what you've been seeing in the morning workshops. So if you would press star 6 to indicate that you wish to be in the queue, please do so now. Okay, Sherry, we're going to take our first caller.
Good.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Rochelle.
Well, hey, Rochelle. I think it's good afternoon for you, isn't it?
It is good afternoon for me, yes. It's a beautiful afternoon here in North Carolina.
Wonderful. What are you seeing?
This is excellent. One of the things that conditioning tells me is that I'm not doing enough recording and listening, and I'm not doing it right. And so this these exercises have been extremely helpful.
Good.
And so what I have gotten had problems with is conditioning, talking to conditioning in recording and listening. And so I was interested if you had any suggestions of how to avoid letting that happen.
Mm-hmm. And you know that that's happening because when you listen back, you can tell that the people talking are conditioning. There's no...
Oh, yeah, there is no doubt. There are times when it's like, oh, my gosh, that's conditioning doing all the talking.
Okay. Well, now, of course, that's extremely helpful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because when we're saying it, we don't know that it's conditioning talking, right? I'm talking long, and if you ask me, I would say, no, that's just me. This is how I feel. This is what I'm seeing now, and it's me. And then I listen back later and go, wow, I was really identified with who knows what as I was talking. So people, we all have difficulty telling who's who. And the longer we practice, of course, the more subtle it all becomes, and it becomes even more difficult to tell who's who. So listening to the recordings and recognizing conditioning is helpful. Then what we can do, first of all, we can record the insights that arise as a result of listening to that. Then we can hit delete on the ones that were just, conditioning going on about whatever it was going on about.
I wasn't sure whether I should delete it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Anything conditioning, any voices of self-hate that grab the device and have some airtime, as soon as we realize what it is, again, we want to record the insights that come from it. So, somebody's beaten me up over something, and I recognize the story that I'm being told, the sin or crime that I've committed that I'm getting all this static about. And so I can make a recording that says, the voices are going to try to beat me up about dot, 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 dot. And when they start in, I need to remember that that's a lie, that the truth of the matter is dee, 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 dee.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's helpful. Very
good.
Much. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think, I think we can't do it wrong. Because we are people who pay attention, and when we pay attention, everything informs us. So as long as we keep doing it, we're bound to be going in the right direction.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Great to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you, too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rochelle. Sherry, I'm just going to take callers as they've called in. So
yes,
next, please. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie. Hello. What are you seeing this morning or this afternoon?
What I'm seeing is, so when I'm recording and listening, I'm finding that when I'm recording, I'm playing, so when I'm listening to reassurances, I feel a lot of body sensations that I want to call are resistant, like a lot of tensing up, and then the voice of ego kind of contradicting those reassurances. And I find that, so then in the midst of that, I try to focus on the experience I want to be having, but I find I seem to get just more and more agitated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the what you're describing really is the progression of practice.
Okay.
Because egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is going to resist what we're doing with everything it's got.
Okay.
Everything it's got. Now, one of the really powerful things about to me about what you're seeing in all of this is how much egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has possession of the body.
Yes.
Yeah. So when it goes into resistance about something, there go the shoulders, there go all the muscles, you know, the stomach gets tight, you know, I'm feeling sick at my stomach, I'm whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we're meant to then accept the voice's assessment of what's going on. So if you're feeling that way, well, you must be going in the wrong direction. This can't be right. This is, you know, you don't want to do this because this is so unpleasant, but we do want to do it. It's the equivalent of, you know, if somebody has a fear of something, a fear of whatever it is, and what we do is just continue gently, patiently, compassionately to take steps toward doing whatever that thing is so that we're facing all of the beliefs and assumptions, the stories, the resistance, or whatever it is, and eventually we get to the point where we can go all the way through whatever that is and we realize we're fine. Now, it'd be lovely if it were over at that point, but it's not because we have to keep going through it, keep going through it, keep going through it until conditioning doesn't have a hold on us anymore so that we really have transformed those sensations in the body and those messages to the point that the sensations don't even come up any longer because conditioning isn't there throwing us into a state of tension.
Wow. Yes, it's amazing
good,
to
huh?
me. How, sorry?
That sounds good, huh?
Yes, no, that sounds
yeah,
amazing.
Let's do that.
Yeah, that sounds much better.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how, I want to call it violent, the reaction to like to positive things about myself.
Yes, yes.
Come
and,
up.
And yes, that is exactly the correct word. And
yeah.
It's hard for us to believe it until we have the kind of experience that you're describing. Because conditioning is so working so hard to get us to believe that it's on our side and that the information it's giving us is accurate and us knowing this is somehow taking care of or protecting us. And to begin to realize that, no, it's just ugly, evil, and violent, and all it's doing is maintaining its control over our lives, then now we have a growing courage to face it and face it down because it really is, you know, it's like the bully of your nightmares. And and if we could run and hide and get away from it, great, but we've tried that. And what we realize is our lives get smaller and smaller and smaller, and it doesn't let up. So at a certain point, we just have to face it, and we have the tools to face it and face it down. And recording and listening, as you well know, is the one that I think is the most powerful ally we have. So as you're listening to it, you know, there it comes, and what you're saying, you could even do a two-recorder exercise with this, which I've never thought of until this very moment. But as you're listening to what the conditioning is doing to you, you're recording about that, and you're recording the comforting, reassuring, calming information that the body needs to break that connection with those sensations. So then every time conditioning gives you those messages, you actually use that information to record the next level of what's really true and what takes care of you. And so you get a lot of recordings to help the body calm down. You know, if you use words like calm and easy and relaxed and those kinds of words, and you talk to the body about that a lot, then you can feel the body relax and mm-hmm. and begin to slow down and feel more comfortable.
Mm, thank you. I feel it already.
Good. Oh,
okay.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephanie. That was really fun, Sherry, that two-recorder process, because what I was listening to in what you were suggesting is that it's a giant reprogramming, and part of the reprogramming is to be able to watch the process so that we're not in the process, and in that way, the sensations and the story links get broken.
That's right. And as you know, we used to try to do this just with sitting practice. So I'm sitting there on the cushion, and I'm looking at a blank wall, and there's all this stuff going on in my body that I would label fear. And as I'm sitting and not going with those stories, but just staying with the sensations, eventually I realize that, wait a minute, those sensations can't have anything to do with anything because I'm sitting on a cushion facing a blank wall. So it must be something that is in there that isn't really relevant to my life, and I can let it go. And as we realize that, those sensations, those connections, so first there's movement, then there's a sensation, we have a label, a thought about that, an emotional reaction, and a conditioned behavior. What we're doing in practice is breaking those connections because they don't really go together. Recording and listening just takes it, our ability to do that, to a whole new level. The two recorders, I'm listening to this and I'm recording what's really true with a different recorder. Wow. That's going to be good.
Yeah, and then we get to that experience that you're talking about in meditation where everything is made up, right? So if I'm listening to something and watching the sensations, then I'm neither that which is watching the sensations or listening or whatever. And then we really get that visceral experience of what we talk about as it's all an illusion.
Yes. Yeah. It's all being manufactured, made up, and the only reason that it's still in place is it hooks us into believing it's real.
It has our attention.
It has our attention, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get the next person on the line.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Hey, Jen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Good. What are you seeing?
I am seeing a couple of things that I think are connected, but I think the biggest piece is that around my particularly biggest pieces of karma, I have a real trouble accessing the mentor.
Mm.
And I think part of why that might be is because I have a tendency when I try to approach the mentor as like a separate entity from myself, it's like I'm seeking help, or I'm seeking an answer, I should say.
So there's
sort of then the mentor is really just taken over by conditioning because, you know, the mentor is will try and solve the problem for me and give me these suggestions and advice and that sort of thing. So I find that when I keep it really, really simple with the mentor is when it's most helpful for me.
Yes. And for me, what you're describing is if I think the relationship with the mentor is anything different than, I come to you and I say, Jen, you know, this is, I'm really struggling with this. This is what's going on, and I just can't see my way out of it. and you would listen to me, and then you would open your mouth, and you would be able to say to me what would be helpful for me in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because I would be evoking the mentor in you.
Yes, and I think there's a tendency for me to also want to offer advice.
Well, we all have to restrain ourselves in that area, don't we?
Exactly.
Yeah. But you know the times when
yes.
you're talking to somebody and you think, oh, wow, that's good. I need to do that too.
Yeah.
You know, and we can tell that wisdom is coming from a different place from, I want to give you some advice about how you should be living your life. And so it's that same place in ourselves. And I find that if I give it a beat, you know, or don't expect the clarity to come through in the first sentence, because if in that situation, you know, you might give me a few paragraphs or a couple of pages before we heard the thing that life is trying to deliver to me via you.
Yes.
And so in the same way, we listen to the mentor until we recognize the gem that we've been seeking.
Yeah, that'll happen to me often when I just you know, sort of stressing out about something and I just pick up the recorder and start talking. It's definitely conditioning speaking first, and then at some point it just shifts naturally on its own into somebody with more perspective, and you know the circle of acceptance gets drawn, and you know everything is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so again, if I came to you and said, Jen, I've got this major life problem here, but I only have a couple of minutes. So give me some wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You would hopefully say, how about if you come back when you have enough time really to devote to this? Because, you know, being asked to deliver brilliance on the spot is just not the way we want to approach the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates us and that we're seeking in these situations.
Yes, and I often feel like around sort of the big pieces of karma, it's also easier for me to hear guidance from the mentor when it's actually coming through somebody else that I admire, like a teacher or something like that. So I've got a lot of recordings that are not me, that I'm much more able to listen to those and sort of receive what's being said. And so I just, in this last exercise before we got on this call, was sort of, you know, allowed that to come into the circle of acceptance as well, because there was a lot of judgment around, I'm supposed to be giving myself my own guidance around this, you know?
Well, and I thought, it occurs. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, well, what's the problem with getting this from somebody else who I actually trust and, you know, I don't know what the problem was with that.
Because there isn't one, right? Because no matter where it comes from, when you realize it's true for you, it's all coming from the same place.
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, you could have the Buddha himself sitting in front of you, and if you were not open to that wisdom in you, you know, conditioning would just be saying that bogus, that's nah. But what it's doing is touching that wisdom place in you. So it occurs to me that one of an exercise that might be helpful is you listen to something from somebody else and then start making some recordings on how that is true for you, what you recognize as truth about that for you, how you resonate with that, how you can work with that and use that. And slowly it moves over to kind of the wisdom that is animating you taking, this is really poor phrasing, but you'll know what I mean, ownership of the information.
Yes, yes, I can feel that how that's true. I will often do that with like something I've read. If I've read something that really struck me, I'll record about it, and I'll sort of read what I've read, but I'll read it with commentary, like with my own commentary
yes.
of like, yeah, yeah.
That is such a powerful practice. I kind of wish we'd thought of it because that would have been a wonderful exercise to suggest to people, so we'll just suggest it right here, okay? So we
sure.
read something from someone that we admire, and it strikes a deep chord in us, and then we want to record what about that is striking that chord in us.
Right.
And that's what expands the clarity so that it becomes available in all aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in other words, if I read something from the Dhammapada, if I just read it, then there's whatever understanding I have of that in that moment. And mm-hmm. If I don't do anything else with that, then it kind of gets, I don't know what the right image is, but it gets kind of put in that file.
Mm-hmm.
But if I talk about how that affects life and my life and what it means to me, and I can see how that would influence that relationship or that situation, then I've really taken it to heart and applied
mm-hmm.
it in a way that's going to inform much more of my life than if I just left it as a quote I like.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I hear in this that it seems like I've got some pretty, not surprisingly, some pretty high expectations or standards about what it's supposed to look like to access the mentor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the connection you're making that's important for everybody is every time you hear something that you realize is wisdom or unconditional
mm-hmm.
love or clarity or compassion, every time you recognize that, it's your experience.
Yeah, I'm the mentor.
Mm-hmm. It is the mentor in you resonating mm-hmm. with the clarity that's coming from another mentor source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because we like to think of it as my mentor, but it's really the mentor. It's the wisdom source for all of us.
That really helps because I go to a real space of trying to, okay, I've got to visualize this person and I've got to ask this person this question. And then it's a separation.
Exactly.
I've set up a
system
there. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, conditioning loves that sort of thing. So to just realize that every quote that inspires you is the mentor in you speaking to you.
Perfect.
Could be through somebody else's voice, could be off of a written page, could be wherever. You know, you
mm-hmm.
just look at the blue sky and the clouds and you respond with how beautiful and magical that is. That is the mentor in you resonating with the intelligence that animates us.
I love that. I love that. That's perfect.
Good.
All yeah. right. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Wow, that was perfect, Sherry. I mean, there was so much in that conversation about the way in which the condition. It's so interesting that conditioning, which is the process of separation, would use the mentor, which is connection, to separate.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if we keep in mind that egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, is always on the lookout to use anything to maintain its illusion of separation, anything, everything, then we're a little bit better positioned not to believe it.
Yes, especially what you were talking to Jen about,
you know, whenever we resonate with beauty or love or wisdom in whatever form, I mean, the mentor is really just metaphorical for the recognition of the resonance. And so, yeah. what we're allowed to do is to feel the connection, but not to own the connection, and closing the loop for ourselves that the wisdom that we recognize, that we resonate to, is the wisdom that we are, is what conditioning robs us of.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah, well stated. So anything, it's basic projection, right? Anything that I recognize as unconditional love or kindness or wisdom or gratitude or any of those experiences, my experience of that is my experience of the life force that is animating a particular being that I like to call me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's much larger than conditioning would let us know, because it's true. Conditioning would like to make it a very specific sort of experience, very limited and small and separate.
Well, and surprisingly, that it is in the form of a person, or I mean, personalization is ego. And so if the mentor doesn't appear as a person, but appears as a process or a feeling or a recognition or an awareness or resonance from all forms of the oneness that we are, then we're not allowed to have that as a mentor experience.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So part of this process is getting clearer and clearer about what that experience is that we're looking for, so that we recognize it in ourselves. Because
right.
It is who we are. So obviously it's there for us to recognize, but we've had a lot of information coming at us that says, no, not that, not that, not that. You're not having it. You're not feeling it. That's not the right one. You're doing it wrong.
And you're not having it at the right time, right? So if I pick up my recorder and I don't instantly connect to the compassion and love that is the universal suchness, then I'm not having a mentor relationship.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, let's take the next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey.
What are you up to today?
Oh, well, I'm here, and that feels wonderful. It's a beautiful, sunny day here. I am upping my game this year involves seeing how collusion with egocentric karmic conditioning takes place.
Uh-huh.
And
oh,
in relationship
good.
To our workshop today, there was this urge to just call it, just to listen to the phone call online. And it was like, well, no, let's participate. That felt like colluding with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, not to call in and be available to participate. And
right.
So
I'll just be a spectator.
Yes.
I'll just kind of hang back and let everybody else do whatever. And I mean, yeah, okay. And we do get talked into that kind of thing. And it would be okay if it weren't held against us.
Correct.
If we weren't being controlled and manipulated into hanging back and not participating.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes, yes. And that can also, you know, affect recording and listening practice.
Yes. Yes, because, I mean, what you're pointing at is huge. There is no part of our lives that we can allow egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, to control and manipulate that will be okay for us. Right? Because if it gets away with it in one place, it's going to want to get away with it in another, and another, and another, and another. And if we get used to being in that relationship with it, that's how we, you know, we learn to look to it for guidance and direction. And then before long, it's taken over everything, and we don't know it because we've just slowly gone down this path of colluding with it.
Yes. Well, and, you know, when I first came to practice, it was in control of everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we've worked
hard to turn that around.
Yes, working hard to turn it around. And so, you know, this year is especially a turning point for me to see in whatever way, and there is no little way anymore, all ways are important to see through.
Precisely, yes. That is the point there. And, of course, karmic conditioning would take that on and say, oh, God, you know, what? There's never going to be another moment of rest in my life. And there's a way in which that's true, because there is no moment in our lives that is insignificant. There's no occasion on which it's not important to embrace the human being in unconditional love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't. Thank God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is what the voices would like to talk us into. You know, we'll take a break. God, you've been working. Look at how far you've come. Come on, you can go unconscious for a little while, have a little rest. Well, actually, no, I can't. Because
no, and a lot of times it's not even a conscious thought. It just happens. It's just a habit.
Yes. And that's what you're bringing into conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what upping your game is going to be this year is, no, I'm going to be paying attention to everything. I'm going to be watching everything I do from the point of view of, wonder what's behind that. What's behind that. So I don't want to call in. I just want to listen on the computer. What would be motivating that?
Spirit
of inquiry. Exactly. The spirit of inquiry will reveal it to you.
Yes, and paying attention, because in one of the exercises this morning about commitment to practice, and you know, the response was, well, participation increases willingness and commitment. It's not a static thing. It's a movement.
Yeah, and it's like a circle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The more I want, the more I the other, the more I the other, the more I the other.
and so the mentor reminded me, used that response when there was this urge to call in, sit on the to be a part of the call on the sidelines via the computer. The mentor said, "Well, what about the participation aspect?" So.
I was doing a workshop yesterday with a group of fellows, as a matter of fact, and what I was attempting to communicate was exactly that we're being guided constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually not subtle. It takes a tremendous amount of attention to yammy, 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 yammy to miss that kind of really direct communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, what about participation?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's what I've committed to. Thank you. I'm
going
to do that.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you.
All right. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Garen. Oh, that was fun, too. It's so wonderful when the guidance is so direct.
Yes. Yeah. When we don't have to suffer that mystery of, now, where was that coming from? It's just right there and straightforward.
And there's no feeling like hearing it, knowing you heard it, and acting on it. Like the alignment feeling there is just marvelous.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, when the voices want to come at us with what we didn't do or what we did wrong or whatever, the feeling that we have of having followed our hearts and accepted the guidance and gone with the intuition is much more powerful, actually, than the old, tired voices of how I did it wrong. It's true. It's a wonderful feeling to make a commitment and stick to it and know that you're somebody that can be trusted with your life.
Yeah, that was exactly what dropped in, that we become trustworthy.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, Sherry, I'm going to get the next caller live.
Okay, thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lori. I'm calling from North Carolina.
North Carolina is hot today.
Oh,
how
so
are
hot,
you?
So beautiful. I'm good. I am
good.
Yeah, I'm just really pleased about all the conversations. Have been so inspiring and supportive. And in the practices too that we're doing. I've got when I was talking with a mentor about something that I hadn't brought before. It was just so shocking that this evident source of torture and self-hate has just gone under the radar of, how about talking to the mentor about this?
It's surprising, isn't it? How
shocking.
Shocking, sobering, humbling, how we can get fooled. And also heartening, the compassion that we live in, that it does arise for us when we're able to face it and move beyond it without self-hate.
You know, what I was hearing, Sherry, the thing that was so sad, really, was that the commentary then always ended with, you're hopeless. This obviously isn't going to change. And then just to be able to say that to the mentor and have it reflected and have it sort of drawn out was it's not hopeless. There was just this whole thing that happened in the body that was very, very different, like this expansion. And really, I just felt like, oh, my God, I've been touched by grace here.
Yes. Oh, what a perfect description of it, touched by grace. Yeah, and egocentricity wants to keep us alone, isolated. And so there we are, usually feeling kind of young and not terribly powerful, and now we're going to go up against all these really actually hard things that we can encounter in life. And we just don't feel equipped. But now we realize that we have the wisdom and compassion that animates all life to guide and support us. So what could be hopeless when we have that kind of power as an ally? Right? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing that, it like sent this chill through me. It's just remembering that, like that, what have, what's available, is so, it's the limitless, completely limitless.
It is limitless. And so, what I would project we do then, and I think this I projected the experience you're having. It actually becomes exciting to take on something that we felt previously incapable of dealing with, because we know I'm going to learn so much. I am going to see so much. And on the other side of that, I'm going to be a different person, and a whole load of suffering is going to have fallen away. Let's go.
Yeah, wow. Do you know, also when you were saying earlier about talking to the body, for some reason, I really heard that, not that it's the first time. I just really heard it, though, when this particular content and self-hate moves in, there's such an embodiment in it. And so then I thought, oh, yeah, just talk to the body, remind the body. And I have just like this whole thing about, now I'm going to do a recording about that will be another one of those like everyday listen to recordings to just the kindness to the body.
Yes, yeah, yeah. All of the aspects of life that are so obviously life that we have been fooled into believing ourselves separate from. I mean, how could, what kind of a con job got us to believe that there is any more intimate relationship for us than our own body, our own physical form.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's so
and
tender.
Yeah, what a beautiful thing it is, right? And, you know, I tell people when they get worried about trauma to, you know, childhood trauma and that they have just really abandoned this little part of themselves for decades. And what I always encourage people with is, you know, children are very forgiving. You know, just shower that part of you with love and affection and attention now, and all will be forgiven and forgotten in a really short period of time. And blessedly, the body is exactly the same way. You know, it holds no grudges. It's just happy to have us home.
So sweet. It's so sweet.
Yeah, so
I love that. Yeah. I have one thing that I've been hearing and reading about the Rumi workshop that was in California, I think. And so my request is, wow, can there be an East Coast Rumi workshop sometime? So.
Well, actually, you know, I thank you for saying that. I said to Ashwini afterwards, you know, maybe we should try this in Carmel. You know, the place, the sister's place in Carmel, be such a perfect environment. She said, how about we try it in North Carolina?
Yeah.
So, I think we're gonna look into it because it was somebody said, now this really caught my attention. Somebody said they thought it was the most spiritual retreat that they had experienced. I thought, wow, because that's not all we do. So I think we want to take it on the road.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much. And I'm so looking forward to being with everybody in April.
Oh, me too. Me too. Try to keep those dogwoods blooming for us, okay?
Okay. Okay. They'll,
all
it'll
right.
be beautiful.
Do your
okay.
best. All right.
All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Laura. Sherry, I'm so excited for this afternoon's workshop. Without giving anything away, I think that people are going to have a delightful surprise.
Yes, yes, I think so. People are already closing in on a lot of what's to come, proving that intuition is alive and well in our sangha.
I'm going to try to get a number of more callers online. So here's the next one.
All right, thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
What are you seeing today?
Well, since, you know, what I was going to talk about 40 minutes ago, what I talked about, now are going to be different, just different things that dropped in. But what occurred to me,
you've changed.
Oh, my gosh.
You've changed in that way.
So, you know, what occurs to me is that my relationship with recording and listening and the mentor is my process in all of life, kind of around, I had this image of me sort of like pulling the mentor out like a workhorse and like, what can you do for me today? You know, achieve, give me ideas. Instead of, this is a relationship. This is a conversation. I don't think of my friends every time I go to tea, what can you do for me today? And that achievement, accomplish results, get somewhere kind of process, which exhausts me, I have been overlaying on this.
Aha. Uh-huh. Wow, that is just a huge insight that I think we can all just stop and take in.
That
ego is going to, again, you know, we talk about that. It'll use anything. It'll try anything. And that it would want to turn the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates us into a workhorse that it can use to get its needs met. Yeah.
Yeah, so like, now you have a mentor. Well, let's put her to work. Let's put her in service of the same thing instead of, I have a new relationship to nurture and develop and learn about and discover and, you know, it's not just a workhorse. And,
that's right. In fact, it's kind of like, we're Buddhists, so we use that image, you know. So the Buddha is going to come over spend the day with you. You think, okay, well, I want to get the garage cleaned. And I want to make sure that, you know, so you get a list of chores for the Buddha to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that doesn't feel right somehow.
Yeah, it's just, you know, my upping the game was around learning about ease, which kind of like relaxation. And when I focus more on the relationship and the inquiry versus the results and the answers,
yes,
I can feel my body relax, and it's a process. Yes. It's not an outcome.
That's right. That's right.
And it's,
yes. Well, and as we are fond of saying, the process is the outcome. So
yes.
It's that attitude of mind and heart that you're bringing to it is what you want to have out of it, and so that's the way it works.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've sort of repositioned, just from listening, and today the mentor is less of a tool, and recording and listen less of a tool, and more around intimacy, however that shows up.
Yes.
And that's different for me.
Yeah, that the deepest, most intimate you, experience of you, is the relationship you're developing. And it sounds kind of funny because, you know, if we think of developing a relationship, well, that sounds like there's a separation there. But it's not. It's much more a matter of really getting to know you, getting to know the authentic you, and bringing all of you into that relationship.
And that is kind of what you said before, this, and I forget it. Well, somebody forgets it a lot around... It's the inquiry, it's not the answer. It's like, well, that's interesting.
Yes.
I don't want to call in, what's that about, instead of, why don't you? You should, you know, just every moment, every moment affords
that. Yeah, Well, what do we have here now? Because, you know, again, one of those very obvious things that we've been talked into failing to notice is this is it. Here, now. It's all that is. So if I don't have that open, curious spirit of inquiry attitude toward this here, now, I'm bound to miss life.
Yeah, it's sort of when my mind goes this. Well, when you get done with this recording listening thing and the mentor, then you can be open and curious. And, you know, it's always the next thing. It's not now.
Yeah.
It's next time.
Yeah.
It's just much more relaxing.
At the conference where I was speaking yesterday, I had never seen this, but apparently South Park, the guys who do South Park, did a thing on Alan Watts, and I would really recommend it. I'm sure it's on YouTube for anybody who likes Alan Watts and admires the South Park chaps. And one of the little segments was this little kid. You know, and the little kid goes to kindergarten, and he's being sort of dragged through these doors, right? So he goes to kindergarten, and he's dragged out of that and into the first grade, dragged out of that and into the second grade, and then it finishes that, and then goes to middle school, and out of that and into high school, and then to college, and then to postgraduate, and then to a job. And finally it's this, bag of what you're looking for. And it's always coming out of a window just above him, and then of course he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And always with that, as soon as I get finished with this, then I'll when I get to the when that's then I'll have the, and it was just such a brilliant depiction of, boy, you know, you could have had fun in kindergarten, and then first grade and second grade, and truly realizing that we're not going anywhere except right here. This is it, and let's say thank you and enjoy it as much as it's possible to enjoy anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, okay, the content this time is recording and listening, but it's the same process, you know.
Yeah, it's questioning that process that, and bringing that spirit of inquiry to the relationship with the mentor that I think personally is the joy in life.
Mm-hmm. Without a result in mind, just the experience.
That's right.
Having kind of having to be with the mentor, and it's just a regular conversation I have, and there you go. That's it. So
that's
relaxing.
Yes, and
think that way.
And again, you know, you meet someone and fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the love of your life. You just can't believe it. You're not wondering how soon it's going to be over so you can get on to the next thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we just hope that we'll always feel that way. As far as I can tell, with life, with unconditional love, with the mentor, can't always feel this way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
To talk about
thank
that.
You.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Susan. Sharon, I'm going to keep taking callers. We have about 10 minutes more.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Tony, can you
hear
me?
Who do we have?
It's Jen.
No.
Okay.
From the middle of the night in Zambia?
Yes.
Oh,
on
I
Skype.
Recognize the delay. Wow. Well, good night. Good morning.
So you can hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay, good. Well, I mostly
just
wanted to express incredible gratitude for the opportunity to hear everyone's voice.
When you're so very far away on the other side of the earth.
Exactly. And just a huge resonance with everything that everyone has said. And the biggest piece for me, I think, in just kind of where I am in practice and where I am geographically and all of that, is an incredible, just exquisite trust in how practice is with us always, everywhere, in everything we're doing, even when we don't realize it.
Yes. It's like we're being carried around actually on a very soft pillow through life, whether we know it or not.
Yeah. It's amazing. And in the exercises that we did, I mean, I saw so many things. But one of them that struck me was, wow, it's different. Living, one of the things I hear myself saying over and over and over through my days is, I love living this way.
Mm.
And what it feels like is, like, I noticed that, so we're in Zambia, and I've been here, you know, how many, 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 many times. And I'm so happy. And I look at it, and, you know, conditioning wants to say, well, yeah, because this is happening or that's happening. And when I really look at it, I'm happy because I'm here with the capital H, capital E, capital R, capital E. That's why I'm happy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're happy because you're present. You're happy because you're not separate from life. You're happy because you realize that you are being held in unconditional love and acceptance, and the gratitude that you feel for that is what we call happy.
Exactly. So I've been blessed with the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, we've had amazing, amazing meetings and things going on out in Cantalumba. And I just noticed this as I was recording. That's the other amazing thing that I'm just so grateful for, is that practice has taken top, you know, I'm sitting, I'm recording, I'm making sure that practice is always right there, because there's this idea that conditioning has of like, well, I mean, you're doing great, and, you know, you're in Zambia, so, you know, just kind of like, you know, you don't need to do all your routines.
Right.
And it's so obvious that recording and listening, especially, actually, but also sitting, It's like, no, that's it. That's why I'm happy.
Yeah, that's why it's going well. When it's going well, that's not the time not to do the very things that make sure everything is going well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we had this one meeting today that just, you know, I just projected had less energy in it than we've been having. And it was such a great opportunity afterwards to just walk away in the same way that I've been walking away from the fabulous meeting. You know? It's not conditional. Life is living us perfectly. Life is living life perfectly all the time in every moment. And anyone's opinion of that is completely irrelevant.
Yes. And the other thing, because I will tell you quickly, I had very much a parallel experience. I spent 6 hours yesterday with a group of people, and I walked out of that thinking, oh, golly. In fact, I can tell people on this call what happened. I did the entire 5 processes, plus recording and listening and meditation, in 6 hours. Yes, because I would offer an experience to people. They would do the experience, and they would say nothing afterwards. Nothing.
Wow.
And so then we would do the next experience. And, you know, you can imagine, by about hour 2, I thought, this is going to be the longest day of my life. And,
yeah.
And to be able to walk out of that with the same feeling of trust as walking out of the Rumi retreat where everybody is lit up and glowing and having and just say, I don't know. My job is to show up and do the best I can do in every situation. That's it.
I love it, Sherry. That's exactly. I had the 10 minutes in this morning. I was like, uh-oh.
It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, that like, do they even understand what I'm saying? But it was. Elle, I just love what you said, because that's exactly the experience I had. And I said that exact thing on the recording of, you know, there's this idea that this thing went really well and this thing didn't, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's coming out of anything that's happening.
And that thing, that place that I get to of, you know, what are we doing here? I don't know, but as good an explanation as any for me is we're here to learn to choose compassion no matter what.
Yeah.
There. You know, if I just apply that, you know, I just want to bring all the loving kindness and compassion and, that to every situation. And try not to make it about me and try to trust that life is living us all perfectly all the time, whether I know it or not.
Yeah. 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 Wow. I'm just looking at my watch to see. You're probably out of call time anyway. I could say so many more things, but I just mainly just thank you. That kind of covers it.
Well, I'll say the same thing to you. It's wonderful. I love hearing from everybody. It's extraordinary to hear from you, and are you the only one up and about, or are your cohorts doing
the
work as well?
Yeah, I think each person is at their own. We've all each got our own kind of setup in our room, so I'm pretty sure they're. Yeah, I can't tell you. I'm definitely going to be here for your quote afternoon workshop, which is truly the dead middle of the night for us. But you never know; it could happen.
Yeah. Well, I know you'll do your best. So.
Yeah.
It is great to hear from you and know that you gals are doing well and the rest of the folks over there are doing well and like that.
Yeah, everyone's doing super and, you know, just sending their love to everyone. I will say especially to you, Sherry, but definitely to everyone, to the whole Sangha. So,
Oh, good. Okay, well, send ours back. You can say you were in touch, directly in touch. We're sending it all right back to them. All right.
I will. And thanks to everyone for making it happen.
Oh.
Good night.
Yeah. Well, good night.
Wow. That's extraordinary. You know, I can
see. That was a surprise.
I know, totally. I mean, I wasn't even there's some people whose names I can see, and a lot of almost everybody is anonymous. So that was just a complete fluke.
Yeah, and you know, I just kind of got really what Jen was saying at the end, that this group of people on this call are some of the most influential players in the work that Jen is over there leading. You know, mm-hmm. And others as well, but especially this group of people who support that work and enable her to be there and enable that transformation to be happening in Cantalumba. So,
well, and
many thanks, much gratitude all around.
Right. It's truly that we all play our part in the game. It's so so clearly articulated in that work that we do there, and the fact that it is what it's the practice, our practice, that makes it meaning, not just the practice in the largest sense of the word, but the practice that I do and the practice that everybody does, that actually allows practice to be at the forefront everywhere.
Yeah.
There's such a visceral manifestation in Cantalumba.
Yeah. It's good. We can all enjoy that.
Well, there are so many.
Are we out of time?
Yes, we are, and there are so many more people who wanted to talk to you, and I'm hoping that they will make sure that they make Gasho on the next call with you, Sherry, so that they can have an opportunity to talk.
Yeah, get in that queue and.
Yes, and we'll make sure. I'll do my best to make sure that they're the ones who are up in priority next time.
Okay. All right.
Well,
thank you so much,
Sherry. There's one homework, a little homework assignment for folks as they go off to eat lunch if you're in the state of California or somewhere in that time zone, and for a snack or anything else that you might do if you're in another one. And this is our usual mindful eating exercise, but in this case, whatever you are eating, when you prepare it, eat it, and clean it up, to do it in mindful awareness, and then notice everything that comes in through your senses, colors, shapes, tastes, smells, sounds, textures, and sensations. And make a recording on what it's like to nourish the body in that way, to be completely present to being nourished by what we are taking in.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's wonderful. I can't wait.
Okay. Well, I think we'll be back here at 3:45.
Okay.
And
thanks, everybody.
And everyone else is dialing into their pods at 2.
2 o'clock. All right. Thanks, Chris Winnie.
Thanks, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Bye.